Everybody, it's Mark Pattison back with another episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. I have made my way back onto the podcast circuit after a year and a half layoff, and I'm jacked up and I'm fired up to have this guy today, Jacob Salem. But before we get there, I want people to know that you can go to my website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. And I've got a new book that's coming out called Finding Your Summit, ironically, the same name as my podcast. And it's all about my journey up Mount Everest and playing in the NFL and trying to run Sports Illustrated and doing a bunch of other things through the peaks and also the valleys of how to overcome and come back from those different things. I'm out doing keynotes now, as well as I've got a free PDF guide called What's Your Everest. So you can find out too how you accomplish things. All right, so we're going to bring in today Jacob Salem. I've been talking to him now for a while. He's the CEO of Easy Metrics. And the thing I love about Jacob's story is that this is a great comeback story. It's not really even a comeback. It's a come up. And this guy was out there and, you know, struggling and doing a lot of things. We're going to talk about it, but working at Planet Fitness and barely making it ends meet and trying to figure out how he's going to pay off his credit cards. And I'm actually reading his book right now called Speaker Millionaire Secrets, which anybody who wants to be a speaker out there, this is good stuff. It's got great content. So, Jacob, how are you doing?
Man, honored to be here, my friend. Thank you so much for bringing me on today.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So, you know, you have been influenced over time by some different pretty influential guys, you know, motivational speakers and just people who are, I always try to talk about, and John Wooden, famous UCLA basketball coach, talked about it, is really try to level up when you're trying to be around people. Who can you look up to? Who's a positive force around and in your life? But let's go back to that time. I don't know if it was 10 years ago or when that period of time was 20 years ago, but when you are just struggling, you're working two or three jobs at a time, you've got a lot of credit card debt, and you kind of have a roadmap and a path that you want to go. There's one particular guy, it might have been Les Brown, that had said, come on out to Tampa. And you just kind of went on a whim and a prayer and were, you know, in debt, and you took that chance. I like to talk about these things as stepping into the fear. And I think you did that. So let's go back to that time and talk about where you were mentally and in that place and what you needed to do to get out and where you are today.
Yeah. So who you actually just referenced was from the book. And thank you for giving that a good read. I'm very proud of that book. And for the listeners on here, the book Speaker Millionaire Secrets, I'm most proud to say, in an era where my entire life is ran by ChatGPT and AI, I'm proud to say that AI was not used in the creation of that book. And it's truly the stories and the systems that I use to generate $15 million through speaking, coaching, and selling online courses. And so you actually were referencing Michael Newman, who he said, hey, if you can just make it out to Tampa, you know, I'll help coach you for a day. And I'll go to that in a second. But the story of the, you know, playing the credit card game, right, using one credit card to pay off the next credit card and using a little excess just to get by, that was even before it. My first start really did come through Ziglar, which was I used those credit cards to invest in myself, right? So I used two credit cards to pay for a certification program because I knew I wanted to use the information in my head and the words that coming out of my mouth to create income for myself, because at the end of the day, I love preaching the gospel, but I never figured out, and nor do I think I'd want to figure out how to make money preaching the gospel. I wanted to make money by using the gift of gab to speak to companies and organizations to serve their teams. And so I invested and I went to Ziglar, and it was at Ziglar where I kind of got my first start to learn some of their proven processes, which were programs like Building the Best You, Building Winning Relationships, and Goal Setting and Achievement. I was able to actually go out and teach Zig Ziglar's proven programs, and that gave my foothold, if you will, or opened the door to different businesses who would actually trust this young kid coming on in. Because even now, I'm 35 as of the recording of this podcast, but I was, you know, 22 years old, I believe, when I went down to Ziglar. So I'm a 22-year-old trying to get business corporate keynotes, and I needed a sense of credibility. And so my real start came when I invested in myself. I took out those credit cards, invested in myself to go partner with the Ziglar Corporation to be certified. And then later on, that sparked a marketing agency because they needed help with marketing, as well as a lot of other businesses that I was serving needed help with marketing. And so that opened the door for me serving businesses and helping them scale in a digital marketing era, because I was born with a laptop, right? My generation was born with technology, And the baby boomers that needed my help at that time weren't privy to how to leverage social media or digital marketing or even understanding the difference. And so that was the real start for me.
Love that. And, you know, I think a lot of the things that you're talking about today apply, right? First of all, it's really difficult when, you know, we have a big age gap. I'm like 20 years older than you. And
yes.
And I've gone through a lot of businesses. I've started a venture-backed thing. I've been running Sports Illustrated the last 10 years. And so I've got a lot of credibility in that sense, right? And then building up your social media. But when you're 22, you don't have that street cred. And,
correct.
And you know, obviously you are kind of, you know, going uphill, so to speak. You're blown into the wind just a bit in terms of just, you know, trying to get that because you haven't had that experience. You haven't had that real life experience in terms of mentorship. And actually how to learn how to influence people to do certain things, because what you have taught, which you'd never done before at the time, hasn't proven to be anything yet because you're too young and you're just starting.
Correct.
It's always the chicken or the egg, right? I need experience to get a job, but nobody will give me the experience because I don't, you know, have the experience. So, you know, so now you dig in, right? And you lead and you start to figure out, you know, what's going to help you make to where you are today, the marketing agency, of really how you get seen, right? And I think there's it's really interesting because there are a variety of different strategies that you talk about. And I want to talk about, you know, in terms of just anybody can go out without spending a credit card. And when you right. start talking about the organic type, there's really three types: social media, podcasting, networking, right? Those yeah. are things that you talk about. Anybody can get an Instagram account, a Facebook account, a LinkedIn account, and off you go. But tell me kind of the secret behind that, in terms of anybody can do that, but it's the right kind of content, right, that's coming out to the world that they're seeing, that they can respond to. So let's talk about that. Let's say, so rather than just, you know, make popcorn or something, you know, let's talk about what kind of content
yeah.
that should be. And we'll talk about generically, not just public speaking, but also across the board of
yeah.
any kind of business that somebody's trying to use to build what they are currently doing.
Yeah. And I want to start here by saying two things clearly. Social media marketing, which is, I think, where our direction of conversation is going, is completely different than digital marketing. And I can give a whole keynote, which we won't today, on literally social media marketing versus digital marketing and how you need, as a business owner listening to this, you need both. You need to leverage social media, the organic play that we're talking about, to then drive people into your own ecosystem, which is digital marketing, which you own. When we talk about social media marketing, which Mark will talk about now, and the different type of contents and whether you should be on a podcast or whether you should be on YouTube or TikTok or whatever platform you should be on, you really need to understand that these platforms own all the traffic. They create all the rules. And unfortunately, that means they can change the rules at any time and they can take their ball and go home at any time, meaning they can literally kick you off their platform. They can squash your reach. They can squash your exposure. And they can truly, literally delete your accounts. We've had clients, or old clients specifically, who grew their account to over 1 million followers. And because of one minor thing they did to upset the platform completely deleted them off of the face of the planet. And so that's why there's a big difference for me. And I'm really passionate about making sure I say it up front, that your business owners that listen to this need to understand there's a big difference between social media marketing and digital. You should leverage.
Let's talk about that example really quickly,
yep.
because I did that at the very beginning. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And we've seen that with Sports Illustrated, where people, you know, put up something and then poof, they got essentially blackballed by
yeah.
Facebook, really. And so what I did at the very beginning of this, even though if anybody's watching this, will be see this podcast on YouTube, or they will see this, you know, through Spotify or Wait. Apple or something like that. What I did at the very beginning is said, if you want to get more information on my keynotes, on my book, on your free PDF download, what's your
address, yes.
so on and so forth, then go to my site that
yes.
I
that's right.
NFL.com. So that, and so what
that's
I'm
right.
doing is anytime that there's a podcast that's out there, I'm putting it up on these different social platforms. So I'm basically stealing, which is what Jacob, you were saying. And
yeah.
I'm basically leveraging their audience.
That's
to
right.
tap into and send it to things that I can control. So I'm not living and dying by virtue of some of these social media algorithms that
that's
are
right.
constantly changing. Go ahead.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed exactly where I was going, which is we use social media to drive traffic somewhere else. So we can capture that information to begin building rapport and then own the traffic. Like you said, Mark, if somebody goes over to your website and they opt in for your free download of free resource, free download, free whatever, you now have that name, that email, that phone number, and you can begin building a relationship by following up with email marketing or phone calls, picking up the phone and actually calling your leads. And now you can actually build a real business and a real infrastructure that you own. But let's circle back. So we get it, right? Social media is where we're borrowing that traffic. We are playing by their rules to get in front of our dream customers. We're going to drive them away for digital marketing, get them to opt into our digital ecosystem so we own them. But you asked me, you said, well, what content should I be creating, or maybe even where should I be creating it, right? So I have 1 million followers myself personally on Facebook underneath Jacob Salem. The only reason I have that is because my ideal customer for over the last 12 years has been a baby boomer. And baby boomers predominantly at the time while I was growing and scaling were hanging out on Facebook number one, or some of our dream customers were hanging out on LinkedIn. So I got a decent following there, but not like I do on Facebook. And so I personally was growing my business and brand on Facebook by leveraging paid media, paid Facebook ads, because that was allowing me to get in front of my dream customers. And so I was creating the content that continued to change based off of their algorithm on Facebook to attract, to get the highest reach and the highest exposure to attract my dream customers, which are baby boomers. And so that could be a quote poster or a graphic just to get more likes, comments, and shares. That could be a blog post to add some authority. That could be a Facebook Live video, because at the time, Facebook Lives were getting the best organic reach, where I was also building a personal brand along that journey. But for the different business owner on here, Mark, that might be listening to this, their dream customer might not be on Facebook. And so you want to be thinking through as a business owner, what problem do I solve and who do I solve it for? And then where are they hanging out? And so if your dream customer is, let's just say, a mom who's into fitness and into food, right, type of stuff, they might be on Instagram, right? Or if it's an even younger generation, Generation Z, they might be over on TikTok. Or if you're really, really good at video, you might be able to build a great YouTube following and begin creating video content there. Or if you're more in the education space and you're looking for that thought leader, you're looking for that person who constantly saturates their mind with the good, the pure, the positive, and they're self-educating. If that's your ideal customer, then that's where creating your own podcast or getting on other people's podcasts could benefit you. But all of these platforms have different audiences hanging out of them and different rules that you have to live by in order to get your best organic, which is free, your best free and organic reach to get in front of your dream customers.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people also don't understand, and I know you get this, but you know, you've got to reach, let's just say it's Facebook. So you're on, you've got 1 million followers, right? Or likes, mm-hmm. right? I have 300,000 roughly. So it's not 1 million, awesome. But still a good chunk, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, and this is one of the things I always taught at Sports Illustrated was this, is that even though you build up this number, Facebook smartly only allows you to tap into 2 or 3% of your total.
Correct. Number.
Right. So you're talking really, so even though you think you've got 1 million or you think you've got 300,000 followers or likes, when you put up a post of only like, 1,000 or 2 of that total are actually seeing what your post. So what they say, hey, if you want to expand your reach, then you can spend a bit. And I think this also gets back to what you're talking about. Number one, you got to put up a certain kind of ad based on what your objective is. And then number two, you have to buck up a little bit, and it doesn't have to be an exorbitant. You could set a budget of $100 a month and you're going to reach X amount of people, but you're going to take, in my case, the 300,000 and it's going to extend that reach in order to the people that you're trying to market to. And I'm sure it's infinite. You could spend $1 million. You could spend $100,000, you know, whatever
that's
it
right.
is. And you're just going to unleash, you know, the power. And that's what Facebook is trying to do to continue to be a $1 billion company.
That's right. That's how they make the fair share of their revenue. And now, Mark, too, as we head into 2026 at the recording of this thing, the algorithms are changing, right? And so some of my most viral content, right? And I don't try to go viral because viral doesn't typically make revenue, right? I want my content to be seen by my dream customers, not just by everybody. But the platforms, all of the platforms I'm seeing are shifting to where they're more of an interest-based platform and not a follower-based platform. And so some of my best content that I put out there now with the best reach and the best comments and the best exposure is very, let's say, topically based. And then based off of the topic of that content, the algorithm is pushing it out into other people who don't follow me, into other people's feeds that are interested in those topics. And it's actually working more in our favor to get more reach and more exposure to people who don't already know, like, and trust us, which I do. I prefer that. I want to keep reaching new people who don't know my name, who don't know what I do. And so I've truly found in the last 6 months or so, maybe even longer than that, the more specific I am with my content and the more topically based that I am, the more organic reach I'm getting. And I'm also reaching new people for free, which is one of the big goals for myself. But you nailed it earlier too. The million followers, right? If I post anything and that post gets throttled or I don't follow the rules, 2 or 3% is all I'm going to reach. But if I follow the rules and if I'm using the organic systems and following the algorithm to the best of my ability, I can still reach about 250 to even half a million people on every single post.
Yeah. And the weird thing about being viral, that little, hot term, is that
right.
Nobody ever knows if there was a secret to unleash this. Now, you can go into ChatGPT and there's some other SEO tools that you can get better headlines and things like that. But
yeah,
if everybody had the magic formula and exactly what to do, you just never know what's going to go. So what right. you want to do is you want to be posting out 4 to 6 times a day because these things go up and then poof, they go away. So the more that you can be posting, the better. Now, do you recommend having a video when you're going to post something like this? You talked about having paid ads, or do you think having just a graphic with some cool, messaging down below?
Yeah, two separate things there. So on organic, you need to have a good, healthy balance of images to videos to links. Now, so that's organic. With ads, I love ads. So I'm a paid ad nerd. We manage about 4 million a month on behalf of our clients. We manage about 4 million a month in paid advertising right now. I'm personally now, we just got back to 60,000 a month. I'm trying to get back to 100,000 a month in my own business, but it fluctuates. So we're spending about 60,000 a month in my own business as of the recording of this very second. I get better results with images. So I'll get a great image ad that's going to be, high contrast in color or even black and white to be the exact opposite, to be a thumb-stopping type image where I'm trying to interrupt somebody's scroll. And so when you're running a paid ad on social media, I am trying to stop somebody from aimlessly scrolling. The reality is all these social media platforms are just sucking away people's lives. It's taking away their number one asset that they're never going to get back, which is their time. And when somebody is zombied away on social media and scrolling, because that's all they're doing, right? If you're listening to this and you don't know that's what social media is doing to you, I hate to be the first person to tell you it's wasting your life. So I'm trying to get them to stop their zombie scrolling. I need them to see my ad. And the only goal of that ad, if I'm paying for the ad, is to get them to stop their scroll, read what I'm saying, and click. Stop and click. And so I get the best results with images because I get a cheaper CPM. And when you're running ads on social media, you're only ever paying for CPM, which is cost per impression, which is actually cost per 1,000 views, which right now, given the time, it's about, depending on the industry, about $25 you spend will get you 1,000 views. And so based off of those 1,000 views, I need as many people to stop and click as possible. Now, we have clients that are really, really good at creating amazing ads, and I mean, or amazing videos, like the drone footage and, TV commercial quality videos. Those videos do run well if you can run those on ads. I personally don't have that skill in my company. Like this setup that you see is my home office. It's about as good as I get on camera, right? And so the reason why I don't run a ton of videos is because I don't have the desire to go put in the extra effort to do it when I can just go create a nice high contrast image that's going to be in alignment with the social media platform's cheapest CPM. And get good results that way. So a little long-winded there. Sorry about that, but
no,
hope that helps.
No, well, let's go back to what you just talked about ads or about video. What we found with Sports Illustrated is that you're going to get 10x more engagement, but at the same time, you have to measure risk reward's the wrong word, but your time is worth something. And so go out, if you're the one doing it, to go out and have a drone and download it and then edit it and say what you're supposed to say and so on and so forth. It's not that it can't work. It's just at the end of the day, it just takes time. And how much is return going to be? And there's no guaranteed ROI with anything.
Right. So
let's go back to something you said about 5 minutes ago, which is I asked you, like, what do you like to do between video and graphics and links and that type of thing? You said, I like to use all three. So I think that's probably the right answer, which is, if you're trying to post 4 to 6 times a day, I'm talking now just on Facebook, but if you're use any platform that you want to be on, and if you're trying to post between 4 and 6 times a day, right, that's number one. Then you can do a combination of there's a really cool link. Maybe it's a link that I have right now on my own website that I write something about that I want people to see. You
That's
know,
right.
I won a Emmy for Best Picture on a film
That's
search
right.
summit,
Yeah.
right? We're blessed to have that happen, but I could put that out, right? And that could be my link, for example, because it would route people back to my website where you can see that. Or number two, I could have a graphic that could go up there, and it's got some really cool come. I saw this graphic actually that you put up of me, right? For come
Yeah.
see speak, right?
Yeah.
So you guys are out there and you're promoting that, which I appreciate. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the third part is, a video. I've got all kinds of videos. Every day I'm shooting them up in the mountains and so on and so forth. I've got to hone my messaging though, rather than me just be on the mountain. I've got to talk about what I'm trying to accomplish, because we
Yeah.
all go through peaks and valleys, as I said, about this podcast. And it's really trying to reach the audience and try to talk the same language of somebody else going through a pain point so that they can actually understand what you're trying to say, and maybe you can help them out.
Yeah, you nailed it.
That's the way it goes sometimes. Okay, so let's talk about lead maintenance. Okay, and again, and people, I want to go back to your book. It's really good. Speaker Millionaire Secrets. I'm on page or chapter like 10 right now. So it's just a lot of magic and gold in there that can really help. And I want to also give you a shout out that Jacob, if you want people to come find you, where can they do that to get your help on how they can scale their business, whatever stage they're in their life?
Yeah, my they can find me on any social media platform under the at tag at Chaplain Salem, which is my at tag on all social platforms, or you can just search Jacob Salem. I am most active on Facebook, and so if you DM me there, I manage it, and my team also does too, so we don't miss it. But then we can get on a call or whatever it takes to be able to serve you.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about lead magnets. In the very beginning, again, when I was kind of promoting, like, hey, everybody, if you want to come and check out what I'm up to, one of the things I have is a free PDF guide called What's Your Everest? I wrote this about 4 years ago, and I'm now just putting it up. But really, at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is collect emails, right? But
Right.
let's talk about the power of collecting emails. I also have a newsletter that goes out once a week. But let's talk about once you collect those, right? And I can only imagine what your list. I've got like 10,000 people on my list. But now, what are you able to do with those emails?
Yeah, I get the highest return on investment from my email database. And not just because I spam blast the emails, and sometimes we do, right? I use email marketing a lot in my business. But every sales seminar that I ever went to in the beginning days of my business, I heard somebody shouting from stage at every single one that the money is in the list, right? The money is in the list. And the reality is the money is only in the list. And even talking about Rolodexes and your stack of business cards and the different way to get these lists, the money is only in the list if you know how to use it. And so we use email marketing and text message marketing and voicemail drops, and we use these different technologies at our fingertips to build relationships with a lot of people all at once. And so in my life and in my business, I do my best to subscribe to a philosophy that says eliminate, automate, delegate. And so I'm always thinking about things in my personal life and in my business life that I'm doing that if I eliminated it from my life, it would never change anything. It wouldn't change anything, wouldn't affect me positively or negatively. And so in your life, there's things that you can eliminate. And then if you can't eliminate it, can you automate it? So email marketing and following up with your ideal prospects to nurture them to that buying decision or nurture them to whatever the next step is in your customer journey, we want to automate that. And so if somebody opts in for your download, you want to first obviously give them the download. So you're going to automate an email and a text message to them saying, hey, thank you so much for signing up for my lead magnet. Obviously, you're not going to say lead magnet, you're going to title it signing up for X. Just wanted to give it to you. Boom, give it to them. And that first email, I don't do anything else other than give it to them. Give them whatever it is they ask for. Then we'll wait 24 hours and now we'll send another email. So 24 hours later, we'll check back in with them automatically with an automated email and text message saying, hey, thank you so much for signing up for ABC yesterday. Just wanted to check in to make sure you got a chance to check it out. Hey, my name is Mark, and I'm the founder and CEO of ABC or D. Our goal, mission, and purpose is X, Y, and Z. And just wanted to say thank you again for joining our database. Hey, look out because over the next 3 days, I'm going to talk about other ways that we can serve you or help you on your mission to achieve ABC or D. And then now you're dripping on these people over the next 3 or 4 days to begin building trust, building credibility, and of course, driving them back to that next decision, whether that's booking a call or buying something or even, attending something, whatever that is. And you begin building, kind of letting, getting them to let their walls down before you ever have to get on a phone call with them?
I think, first of all, it's a great way, great explanation. And I think for a lot of people, right, as savvy as you may think people are always looking for a way to improve. Okay. Yeah. And part of that is what you were just describing is otherwise known. Cause a lot of times there's these terms out there like, what's that? Right. I know what the words mean, but I don't know what that means. Right. And how that's going to have impact on my business. What you just described is called drip email marketing.
Right. That's right.
So you can go in places like MailChimp, in other words, and you can literally set up that there's triggers. Like every single time that you go in and you're going to download my free PDF guide on what's your Everest, which is coming out very soon next week, right? It's all right there. Then there's going to be another drip behind that, right? If you want me to come out in keynotes to speak or whatever it may be, right? Something that you go around and around and around again, and you really reinforce really well in your book, The Speaker Millionaire Secrets, is really this whole notion of, and you give a good example, and this can be for anything, but if I were to go out and do a keynote, and this is one of the things that I'm learning from you in terms of my mistakes I've been in the past, where I'll get called in to go do a gig, and I'll go do that, and it's great, I'm paid well, and then I go home.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is like, you're leaving so much money on the table, and really think about it. So what does that mean? It means that in a very low key way, when you're up there, you get into a system where you can get people to come and they're going to follow up via email. And now you can get in this drip thing where, you know, you're going to send them this free PDF. You can coach them. You can, you know, there's a variety of different things based on what your business is in terms of bringing them in. So it's just not a one-time transaction, which is your whole point.
Yeah. At a bare minimum, a lot of speakers that I've worked with don't even look for spinoff gigs at events. And I'm like, at a bare minimum, at least try to find that next gig from the audience, right? There's somebody there who knows somebody that wants to introduce you to your next speaking gig. At a bare minimum, at least get another transactional gig out of every single opportunity. But you mentioned my favorite, which is if I can actually get the database of people in attendance and I can begin following up with them, or if I can make an offer at that event, whether that's coaching or whether that's selling information, which is online courses or books or whatever, that is where real revenue happens. It's very hard to make $1 million, $10,000 keynotes at a time. I mean, you can, it's possible, but that's a lot of nights that you're away from home in order to achieve that. And then once you're done with that, you have no reoccurring revenue.
Well, I mean, that's just exactly it. And I think, you know, with this, at the end of the day, what we're all trying to do is scale, right?
Right.
And so as we think about 2026, right, and you've been doing this now for 20 years, something like that, 10 years, 20 years.
I'm at 12 years. March will be 12 years for me.
Okay. So, you know, this is all part of your life journey. And you talked about, you know, growing up in kind of this baby boomer thing. And
that's right.
Your age grew up with a cell phone in your pocket. People my age did not. And so it's usually a little trickier for the older crowd.
That's right.
Although sometimes older crowd has a little bit more disposable income. So I what I'm hoping on this particular podcast is that we are giving you the tips and tricks and the secrets on just the most basic things to get out the door. So I'm going to turn it around back on you. So now we're coming up on 2026, and people are always talking about New Year's resolutions and what they're going to do and how they're going to change from last year to this year. And they got new goal sets. What is your ideal goals, and where are you trying to take your business, Easy Metrics, to this next level?
Well, thank you for the question. I like setting BHAGs, right? Big, hairy, audacious goals. I actually semi-retired when I was 30, which ended up being the worst thing that ever happened to me. Because I ended up fat and depressed and I had no goals. I was just playing Xbox all day because I was taking home a high six-figure salary to do nothing, because my business was, I have an amazing team that we've hired over the years. And so I'm always chasing that next big thing. So we've alluded to a couple of things. Easy Metrics is my main bread and butter. That is my marketing agency that serves business owners at a very high-end level, right? They have to pay a truck ton to get that service. So that's one level we serve. We also, as some of you can see, if you do watch this on video, I have two of the ClickFunnels, two Comma Club Awards, which means I've made $1 million through just one funnel, but I did it two different offers. One of those was through speaking, coaching, and online courses, which is under the Jacob Salem umbrella. A passion project of mine is I love helping speakers. I love helping speakers grow. I love helping speakers scale. I've always wanted to make an impact by using my voice. And I know there's so many other gifted people out there that already have the gifts, the talents, the resources, the wisdom to pass on to the next generations, but they just don't have somebody to actually help them get gigs. And so actually one of my personal passion projects that I'm scaling, one of my own personal businesses and ventures, it's a true business too, is salemspeakers.com. And I think that's actually how, Mark, we ended up meeting. And so Easy Metrics is a great seven-figure company. I'm proud of it. My Inner Circle and Courses are doing seven figures on their own. I'm proud of it. I have another spinoff company at sellcourses.com. It's doing great too. We are actively scaling salemspeakers.com, which is a business where we help speakers get booked and paid to speak. And this is a venture that we actually started in April or March or April of 25 is when that business actually started. And 2025 was a great year to kind of get our feet wet, if you will, to get some speakers gigs. We even got lucky a little bit and helped one guy close a six-figure corporate training contract. I'm very proud of that. So my big, hairy, audacious goal for 2026, me personally, is I'm going to help get 1,000 booked gigs. Like that's the number that we're writing down. It's the number that's on my whiteboard across from me here. And I want to help speakers that are up-and-coming speakers and established like yourself get, I want to book out 1,000 gigs for 2026. And that's where I'm putting all of my energy. Personally, Jacob Salem's time, energy, and effort is to scale that leg. And I'm already excited to see the traction that we've already created. And I really actually believe that 1,000, as we start to do this, I almost think 1,000 might be a small, big, hairy, audacious goal. But since we've never achieved it, that's still the written goal.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. You know, I took that same approach, the big, hairy, audacious goal. And that's really mm-hmm. what came up with the Seven Summits. And you know, a lot of people have pointed to me and just going, you know, God, you played in the NFL or you climbed the mountains and, you know, like what's next and why don't you just stop? And the reason why is if I can think to myself, like all the things that I have not achieved versus what I have, the scale is completely, you know,
yeah,
it's not an equal scale.
Correct. So
that's where, and I think that leads to something else, which is called loving the process, right? Competitive greatness, Michael Jordan. It wasn't because he was a phenomenal athlete. He was, but there's a ton of other phenomenal athletes. It's because he loved getting in the gym at 4 a.m. in the morning,
right.
Just like Kobe, and working harder than anybody else because he loved the process.
That's right.
For me to achieve these different things, I've loved the process, not necessarily the summit, but the process of actually climbing these mountains and overcoming all the obstacles that you find in your way, you know, to try to get. And that's what keeps, for me, things super interesting. I can't, for me, ever see the word retirement happening.
Yeah.
Just shifting my priorities. And I'm kind of going through a shift right now where, you know, I'm focusing a little bit more on the speaking gig and I know you're going to help me out on that,
right.
But just, you know, the other things are coming my way and just seeing where that can really thrive and go in 2026. So it's all good. And it's, you know, the first thing you have to do is get in the ring. I think one
that's right.
Done very successfully is get in the ring. I'm for sure in the ring. And so, you know, I appreciate you coming on the pod today and sharing all your wisdom and knowledge. But I think we should also do a follow-up in about 6 months because,
sure.
You know, this stuff is so gold and there's just so many people that are so close yet so far away from really understanding all the different components that all feed in to this thing that help make this flower bloom and grow in a big time way.
Yeah, well, it's been so much fun to be here. And I know obviously you can only cover so much in such a short time, but hopefully that the listeners came through, got some value out of this and a little nugget that they can go implement in their own business because I love helping business owners scale as well. And so honored to be here, my friend.
Love it. Love it. Once again, where can people find you?
Just find me on social media, Jacob Salem on all social media platforms. That's the best way to find me. And I'd love to serve any of you at any capacity if we can help you grow.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, there he is, the one, the only Jacob Salem. Thank you so much for coming on.